You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
All right, well, we are in week two of a three-week series that we have called Test Prep, the three most important questions that you will ever answer. Because as you guys are taking your chem exams and physics and things that I don't understand, there are three, actually, you know, even more important questions that all of us need to be prepared for. They are the questions about our identity, our belonging, and our purpose. And last Wednesday night, we talked about identity. And if you missed last Wednesday, I would encourage you, our production team, specifically Mel in the back, can everyone turn around and say, hi, Mel? Mel hates that attention, but he works really hard every week to record our messages here at HSM. And we post them on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify Podcasts. So if you ever miss a Wednesday night or you want to go back and meditate on something more, we would encourage you, go back, listen to those messages, because this week, tonight, really builds off of last week. Last week, we talked about our identity, and how we answer the question, who am I, gives us next steps towards answering, where do I belong? So we talked about a lot of different types of identities that we sort of put on last week. If you've decided that you're an athlete, then maybe other people or you yourself, you believe that you belong on a team, right? If you are a scholar, maybe you're really trying to be an intellectual or an academic, then other people and you might believe that you belong in the library, that you should be studying. And if you are a gamer, then maybe you believe, Josh is just immediately fist pumping in the back. If you are a gamer, then maybe you believe that you belong in your room with your computer, right? Or maybe you feel like you belong on Discord, okay? How we answer the question, who am I, gives us next steps to answering the question, where do I belong? But the reverse of that is also true. Where you decide you belong influences who you think that you are. We are all, like, hear me, amazing, individual, unique human beings, okay? There's no you but you out in the world. But research shows that we are also very much impacted, motivated, and driven by our environment. We are easily influenced people. And people have developed theories, maybe you've heard this before, that state that you are most like the five people you spend the most time with. So think about your life right now. Who are the five people who you spend the most amount of time with? Also, sorry, I know this is like kind of ridiculous. If you missed it, I fractured my fingertip at the Ultimate Life Group Showdown, but it's doing way better. The Lord is on the mend, but I know it's like kind of awkward. I'll use this hand. Think about the five people you spend the most time with. Who are the five people who like most influence you? And maybe ask the like brutal but necessary question, do you actually want to be like those five people? Like think about the way that they interact with other people. How do they talk about other people? How do they react when you share with them something that you're nervous about or something that you're embarrassed by? Like how do they make you feel? Are the five most influential people in your life actually good influences? Or are you just wanting to belong somewhere? Are you just wanting to feel accepted? And that means that you'll belong and be influenced by anyone who offers that, even if they're not actually that great for you. When we belong, we feel that safety. We feel security and accepted. We talked last week about how identity is so important to us because we long to be known. We want other people to know us, and we can't really help other people know us if we don't know who we are ourselves. But belonging is also important to us because we don't just long to be known, we long to be known and loved. We want people to see the real us and decide that they like us and decide that they love us. Belonging is that important to us because we don't want to be alone. And we all, if we're honest, know what that awful feeling is like when we're kind of left by ourselves. And I felt that feeling a lot, but probably my most painful experience of it happened when I was 12 years old. So picture this. It's fall. It's like my first year of middle school. And my friends and I are getting ready for Halloween. Some of you know the story and are already laughing. I'm getting ready for Halloween with my friends, and we do what we do every year. We meet at my friend's house, all dressed up, and we go trick-or-treating, okay? And as we got older, we started, you know, coming up with group costumes, you know, that belonging, you know, like let's identify, like, together, okay? So this particular year, we decided to be different Sesame Street characters. So, you know, like Elmo, you know, yep, that, you know, we decided to do that. And so I'm, like, really excited. I show up to my friend's house, and I realize very quickly that I did not get the memo that we grew up. I did not get the memo that Halloween is no longer about, like, how cool your costume is, but it's about, like, looking cute and, like, fun, okay? I didn't get that memo. So I show up to my friend's house, and one of my friends is supposed to be Cookie Monster, and she's in a dress, and she has a headband with, like, fake cookies on it and bows, like, she's, like, really cute. My other friend is supposed to be Big Bird. She's also in a dress and is, like, wearing yellow eyeshadow, like, super cute, okay? My favorite color was green at the time, and so I decided to be Oscar the Grouch, and I show up to my friend's house, and I'm literally in a trash can. This is how I showed up to this Halloween party. I, like, literally painted my face green and, like, made myself dirty. Nobody else has these, like, cartoon eyes, okay? And I literally was, like, so mortified, so embarrassed, and also, like, I'm alone. I, like, thought I was a part of this group, but I clearly missed the mark, and I don't belong here, and I'm gonna spend the whole night trick-or-treating looking like that while everybody else looks cute. That is one of the most embarrassing stories of my life. I haven't showed anyone these pictures before, so I just really love you and trust you, HSM. But I think what that illustrates is just like those identity, you know, we could take that off the screen now. Thank you so much. Thank you, Mel. So embarrassing. But just like the identities that we talked about last week, people and our connections, where we belong, can be shaky because we are imperfect people. So we do, even though we might not mean to, or maybe it's just the brokenness of this world, humans, we reject people. We are mean and hurtful, and we long for deeper, more real connections because it's written in our very hearts. Where we started last week is that we are all made in God's image. And after God created the whole world and created man in his own image, God said something profound about us that actually reveals truth about God himself. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, scripture says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" You see, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, this is our creation story. God is creating the whole world, and he says over and over again, "It is good." He says it is tov. That's the Hebrew word for complete goodness. So he creates the ocean and the land and calls it Tov. He creates the air, the sky, the air that we breathe. He creates birds to fill it and all of those things, and he calls it good. He calls it Tov over and over again. But then he says, all of a sudden, that something is not Tov. All of a sudden, he says, oh, I kind of missed a part. He creates man, and he says it is very Tov. It is very good. But then God says something is not Tov, something is completely not good, and what is it? It's that the man was alone. So God created a helper suitable for him. And I want to talk for a moment about that phrase, a helper suitable. Because what happens, if you're familiar with this story, is that God puts Adam to sleep. He takes a rib from Adam and creates woman, creates Eve, for Adam to live life with. And sometimes we can get a little tripped up by that phrase, a helper suitable for him. That if maybe you kind of listen to that and you're like, okay, well, was woman just created to like help man? Or like, is the woman worth anything there? If you study it, the Hebrew phrase for suitable helper, and that Hebrew is important because it's the original language that the Bible was written in, you'll find that it consists of two Hebrew words, ezer, kenegdo. And ezer is used to, its definition is help. And in the Bible, this is how many times it's used. It's used twice to describe woman, three times to describe military help. So like if you're losing in battle and the cavalry comes in, like that's what the Bible uses ezer to describe that help. And then 16 times, by far the most ezer is used in the Bible, is actually used to describe God himself, that God is our helper. So women are not helpless. They actually serve a really important role that God himself embodies. That woman can't be less than man because ezer describes God himself, and God isn't less than anyone or anything. And the word kenegdo is kind of like an architecture term, and it refers to two pillars of a structure, which indicates a partnership, equal standard. So God created an equal, loving, similar, and yet very unique and distinct companion, partner, with whom Adam could share life with. We need relationships because we were created for it, because God is relational. That's your first fill in the blank. God is relational because he wants us to be able to experience a relationship with him. That's what we're made for, to know our God who loves us. And God himself is relational. God is three persons in one, the Trinity. Hopefully you've heard that term before, but the Trinity is the Christian doctrine that we have one God who is three persons, three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard some of the illustrations to describe this. Maybe you've heard that God, the Trinity, is like water, where water could be in three different forms. It could be solid, frozen as ice, it could be liquid like drinking water, and then it can evaporate and be like vapor. Three different forms, one single thing. Maybe you've heard about the pretzel analogy, and a pretzel is one piece of dough, right? Twisted together to create three different parts. One piece of dough, three different distinctions. Maybe some of those illustrations make sense to you. Maybe they like fall a little short for you, and that's okay. On this side of glory, we only have imperfect illustrations to understand a perfect God. So nothing's ever gonna perfectly help us understand. This is a complex idea that we could talk about for the rest of our lives. But the main idea of the Trinity that I want you to hold on to for now is that God at his very core is relational. that one of those relationships within himself is Father and Son. And we kind of have a concept for that. It's that closeness and intimacy that these three parts are interdependent, they're equal, but they interact with each other. They do depend on each other and work together. And if we are made in God's image, then it makes sense, thinking of the Trinity, that we are to be relational as well. And it's only because we are relational that we can experience connection with God. And that's what he wants, because he loves us. And HSM, tonight, if you are wondering, if you're doubting if God really does want a relationship with you, that sure, maybe God wants a relationship with the person sitting next to you, but how could he ever want a relationship with me? I want to encourage you. Read your Bible. I've been encouraging you to do this over and over again, because as you read God's word, and if you aren't quick to ask, okay, how does this relate to me? But you're quick to ask, what does this first teach me about God? Then you will find God to be the main character of the Bible, who is the initiator with his people. God is the one who created humanity. We didn't ask to be created. Humanity is the one who then rebels against God, but then God spends this whole book and every year since then chasing after his people, running after them, pursuing them. HSM, God is running after you because he wants a relationship with you. And our discussion last Wednesday ended like this. Who are we? A study of God's word tells us that if you are not a Christ follower tonight, we're so glad you're here. The truth is, you are perfectly loved by God and invited by him by grace through faith to become his child. And if you are a Christ follower, you are perfectly loved by God and invited by him by grace through faith to live out your identity every day as his child. And if this is true, then the Bible has a lot to say about where we belong. According to God's design, we belong firstly in a relationship with him as his son or daughter. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 say, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." This is incredible news, because the God of the universe chooses us as his family. He wants us as his family. And one of the lies that I shared is something that I tend to believe a lot about my own identity, is that if anyone knew the real me, they wouldn't love me. And I think that's a lie that a lot of us kind of battle with, because it's powerful, because if we're honest, it's kind of true. Like, what did we say to each other last week? You are beautiful and you are broken. We are beautiful, but we're broken. We're sinful, we're imperfect. And so in some ways, yeah, when people come to know the real us, it's not all pretty in our hearts and in our lives. But God knows, he's all-knowing. So he knows all of our sin. He knows all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, which could be really scary. But God, at the same time, sees all of that and decides that he still loves us. Timothy Keller is a famous pastor. He was a famous pastor. And he says in one of his books, the gospel, which is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the free gift of salvation that he offers through faith to every single one of us. He says, the gospel is this: we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. We belong. We were made to be God's son or daughter. And we don't family alone. Whether it's by blood or by choice, the definition of a family involves other people. So we have our Heavenly Father in God, but we also then have brothers and sisters with every other believer in Jesus. So the second place we belong in is in God's church, the family of all believers in Jesus. You see, belonging to Jesus means that he is your closest friend. He is the first person you go to. He's the one that you talk to the most. But then belonging to Jesus' church means that we choose to love our brothers and sisters. We make it a priority to invest in worshiping God with the diverse body of believers. I loved what Mariah prayed for us at the end of our time of worship is, not many high school students are spending their Wednesday night at church, and yet here you are. You're making it a priority to be a part of God's family, the church. We prioritize studying God's word in smaller groups and serving the church and other people who are not yet a part of God's family. And that means even if you're introverted, or even if you're not a huge people person, that doesn't mean that you get like a free pass from this. Like, you don't get to just decide, oh, I'm not gonna pursue community because I'm better off on my own, even though I'm a Christian. It's actually a reality of our identity and belonging to Christ that we have brothers and sisters. One of my good friends, a few years ago, she was really involved in a Bible study that I was in. And she shared with me one day that, like, she is really introverted and really does prefer to do life on her own. But she said, but I love God, and I know that God designed me to be in relationships with other people. And so she commits to being a part of life groups just like you're about to go to in a few minutes because she knows that it's good for her. She knows that she was made for it. And it's her act of obedience and faith to God. That's what God is asking of us. That's where we belong. But we sin. We break things. We've broken things. We live in a broken world, and so we've skewed God's original design. So we've taken this longing in our hearts for relationships, which were originally intended for God and for his church, and we've gotten confused about where we belong. Sometimes we put too much energy into belonging with other people that we forget about God. That sometimes we're so looking for acceptance and security from other people that we forget that the perfect acceptance that we could ever experience is in God himself, that we belong to God first. And sometimes we have too much fear and anxiety about connecting with other people that we never reach out to other people. We never let anyone into our hearts, and we try to just live our life by ourselves. And sometimes the people we belong to, and maybe we really do belong with them, they let us down. We let our friends and family down. And we have these experiences where we feel abandoned or rejected or betrayed. And it like sends us into a panic of like, well, if this is where I belong and it's broken, then who does that make me? Where can I feel that sense of security? And the enemy really capitalizes on these lies and these sinful tendencies in us. The enemy and the world really take these to a whole nother level. And the enemy will tell us a lie, and he will say that you cannot be alone. That being alone automatically means that you are loneliness. Even if you're just like by yourself at lunch one day, or you like don't have anyone to walk with to your next class, like even that is like a panic. That being alone means loneliness, and loneliness automatically equals bad. And that is not true. Being healthily alone sometimes is actually just as important as relationships are for the Christian life. There's a difference between solitude and isolation. When we're in solitude, it means we're alone, but we're alone with Christ, that we're actively seeking him. But when we're isolated, we just put all our walls up, and we don't let anybody in. Read how many times in the Gospels Jesus practices solitude. How many times he retreats to talk and pray with his Father. That is healthy. The other problem with this lie is that it really encourages being motivated by selfish desires when we come to a community. Because the lie is, you cannot be alone. I cannot be alone. The focus is on you. It's not, how can I serve my brother or sister? It's not, how can I be a good friend? It's, how can I keep this friend? How can I make sure that I'm secure and still have a place to belong? The best relationships come when we don't have that mindset, but we have a mindset of serving one another because that's how God designed it. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 3, Scripture says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others." Why? Because in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. If we belong to the family of God, we have to live like Jesus. We have to serve and love others, put their needs before ours. And that is a radically different kind of love and different kind of community than the world. The world doesn't have God's love. In the world, there's arguing and unsafe judging and belonging. Community changes based off of feelings. But the Christian community should be safe and secure. Not perfect, but secure because we are based on knowing and following the unchanging nature of Jesus. We're going to talk about one more lie, and it's the lie that you belong with people who are just like you. That the only place you can belong in is with people who look and think and act exactly the ways that you do. And it's true, we should share common interests with people, okay? Like I mentioned, I've become a bird nerd, so when I meet a fellow birder, like I get excited about that interest, right? Because we're not that popular, so it's like kind of fun to bond over that, right? But when we're all the same, there's no challenge from other people's perspective to help us grow. And also, there's not really like a lot of beauty in uniformity, okay? Like, yeah, maybe you all get along, you have a cool community, great. Even the religious leaders in Jesus' day did that, but they were united around the wrong things. God actually designed it for it to be a beautiful thing when different people who maybe have no reason to share life together are united around Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, Scripture says, "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, so it is with Christ." Today, because of the church, some of my greatest friends in life, okay, I'm a 26-year-old woman, not married, don't have kids. Some of my greatest friends right now are grandparents. They're people, they're families, people with kids. Some of my greatest friends are a room full of high school students, where in the normal world, like without Jesus, we probably don't have any reason to be in relationship together. And yet, but God, He gave us every reason to have the most meaningful relationships because we have the most important thing in common, and that's Him. There's beauty in the diverse church of Jesus. And if we're made to belong in God's family and in His church, I want to share really quickly just a few ideas to help deepen and invest your community, to live out being brothers and sisters in Christ. I would encourage you to spend time with Jesus on your own. Make that a priority. And I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, but when we abide, when we connect with Jesus ourselves, His love is going to flow out of us onto others, not our own love. And also, by being rooted in God's word, we remember that He's the first place we belong to. So that when people let us down, we're not left in a panic, but we could actually remember, hey, I can forgive my friend because my sense of security and ultimate belonging is in God's family. I would encourage you to ask good questions. Go beyond, how was your day? That's a good question, but maybe try asking, hey, what's something that you're worried about this week? Or how are things with your family going, really? Or how could I pray for you? I would encourage you to be an encouragement to others. In a world that is so quick to be negative and to complain and point out the flaws in people, what would it look like in your relationships if you started saying at least once a day to someone why you appreciate them? And then pray. Know how to ask how to pray for each other, and then pray for each other. One of my best friends to this day is someone who I haven't seen in probably 5 years. And we, like, even before that, we only saw each other once a year. But one of the reasons why we're such close friends is we spent one summer praying together every single day. Sometimes it only was 5 minutes, but that, you'll be amazed the connection that Jesus makes with you and another person when you choose to pray together and go to him in prayer. And as we begin to wrap up, when you choose to invest in your Christian community like this, you are also investing into eternity. Kind of like the icing on the cake of all this place of belonging is that the family of God is eternal. The church is eternal. Last week we talked about how Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 reminds us that as believers in Christ, we are citizens of heaven. We are designed to belong in the family of God in heaven for eternity. We've barely scratched that surface. But if that's where we ultimately belong, in heaven with God forever, there's kind of a gap because we're still living in this broken world. And you might be wondering, what are we doing here? If that's what we're made for, if that's who we are, if that's where we belong, what are we still doing here? But that is a whole nother question that you're just going to have to come back next week for when we talk about what is my purpose. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you so much that because of your great love for us, even in our sin, you made a way for us to belong to you as your son and as your daughter, and that we get to belong to the family of God together. And Lord, I pray for anyone in this room tonight who might be feeling lonely or might be feeling like the places that we thought we belonged to aren't actually secure or maybe aren't the places we're actually designed to live in. And Jesus, I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would make a way for each of us to understand and know and embrace your loving arms that are telling us that we belong to your family. We pray for powerful life group times tonight, and we look forward to continuing to dive into your word together next week. We love you so much, Jesus, and we lift up all of these things in your powerful name. Amen.